This is the Brian Suits Show.
None of you. You all. You failed them. Not me. Not men. Women failed the WNBA. Ladies.
More on that here in just a second. AM 770 KTGH. I think what's frustrating a lot of people is that it's not illegal to give a free bus ride to illegal aliens who want to go to New York or Washington, D.C. That's the part that frustrates people. I just realized. But when I say people, I mean people who are not on border states. That and more. It's AM 770 KTTH. Brian Suits here, and we'll finish our Bill Burr WNBA rant in just a second after we get you to work with the right-way traffic. AM 770 KTTH, Brian Suits here with producer Greg on a very actual Friday, Seafair Friday. 5th of August, 2022, and Blue Angels practice again today, and then for realsies is tomorrow and Sunday. And there's a big to-do down at Boeing Field. If you you get to meet and greet them when they come back Saturday and Sunday, so I'm going to look into that. It looks like fun. The Brittany Griner sentencing was yesterday, and it's good enough for me that you're an American being unjustly held and oversentenced and all that. But there are other Americans that have been there longer, but they just don't check any boxes, you know, and the whole thing. But it's not as of yesterday. It got to the ridiculous level. And I heard it across multi platforms that this never would have happened if the WNBA paid more. And the inequity, you see, Brittany Griner was, because it always has to get back to inequity.
And it always has to get back to it being America's fault.
Yeah. And you see, it's America's fault that the WNBA pays such a paltry amount to women who play the same game as men. That she had to go to a professional Russian team, which actually pays more than the WNBA.
I play the same instrument as Eric Clapton, but that seem to make as much money.
That's inequitable. That's inequity is what that is. And that's what it really, that's what it was, you know, and the shame of it is that she had to go there because the WNBA doesn't pay more. And that's like in a regular year, fine. But this was after the travel advisory and all that was named. And also, most everybody in Seattle would know Sue Bird on sight. You know, this is the only WNBA team that she's ever played for, but she's another one who makes more money, in Russia. And I mean, is it fair? Yes. That's what's called the fair market. Because nobody is forcing you to spend your money to see inferior basketball. So there's, you know, equitability would be that there's no gender difference, that there's only the NBA. And that, you know, if you want that level playing field, you know, no one, you're not supposed to bring that up. That, you know, why does the Olympics have gender differences at all? Why isn't there just the 100 meters? Why is it men's 100 meters?
Should we go back to basics here? That everything... you should learn as a child.
Wouldn't be fair.
Well, who says life is fair? Where is that written? Life isn't always fair.
101.
So if you don't know who Bill Burr is, you should. He's very, very funny. He leans a bit conservative. The reason he gets in trouble is because he just sees things the way they are and he says them out loud, which is kind of the core, the precursor of comedy, is find something ridiculous, point to it. So this is a little rant he had. This was after the ESPN Awards when Megan Rapinoe was up there talking about equity and pay and the whole thing.
I saw a woman a couple months back, professional soccer player, right? She goes on to ESPN or one of these sports channels, and she starts bitching, going like, I don't understand. How come female athletes don't make as much as male professional athletes? Right? And all of these men had to sit there and act like they didn't know what the answer was. They had to sit there like dumbfounded, like, oh, I don't know. Why is that? That is a conundrum. I have no idea. Literally, I'm sitting at home screaming at the TV because you don't sell any tickets. Nobody is going to women's soccer games. You're playing in a 20,000-seat arena. 1,500 people show up. That's not a good night.
That's like the 10th time I've heard that this morning, and it just gets funnier. Now, I remember seeing the special, but wait, he goes on about the WNBA. Because we're being told, as of yesterday, we're responsible for her bringing the hippie lettuce to Moscow. Again, she was going in. She wasn't coming out. She was going in. Clearly, probably, absolutely not the only first and only professional athlete going into Russia with any form of cannabis. She's just the one that didn't bribe the guards enough. But
who
anyway,
knew that Milton Friedman's shtick could sell out arenas these days. Economics 101 basically is what Bill Burr is referring to there.
So now who really failed the WNBA?
None of you. You all. You failed them. Not me. Not men. Women failed the WNBA. Ladies, name your top five all-time WNBA players of all time. Come on. That's it. Name five WNBA teams. Name the WNBA team in your city. You can't do it. You don't give a f- about them.
They'll stop him when he's wrong.
Let him speak for himself.
Yeah. Sue Bird and the Rain. That's it. And only because she's an icon here. You know, commercials and all that. I remember... We had her, I was when I did Nights on Cairo is when she got drafted, and the Rain, you know, brought her around TV and radio and all that. And me and Paul Moyer had her in studio. Perfectly delightful person. We watched her highlights at Connecticut, you know, obviously a world, what she's got, 5 Olympic gold medals, you know, world-class athlete, the whole thing. And I went to a game because they gave me free tickets.
You know? Was that the last game you went to?
It was the only game I've been to. And speaking of feminists, I was engaged to one at the time. And I mean, it was, I said, I got these, you know, you want to go to that with a friend? And she was like, no, yeah, you're my friend. We're going. And I went, oh, God. And, but I muttered it even lower than that because she had dog hearing. She had male sarcasm hearing. So I had to go like, and then do one of those. That's the only, you know, and it was really good. It was really good women's basketball. But, you know, no one got above the rim. So there's, why are you being silent, Greg? So anyway, like I say, my bottom line is, okay, there's another American being held unjustly in Russia. You know, this one is getting all kinds of publicity because, let's be honest, there's a whole bunch of boxes that you get to check when you say things like free Britney and justice for Britney. You know, listen to this crowd go crazy last night in solidarity with Britney Griner. This is in Phoenix, her WNBA team. A crowd of dozens. So there's and you know what's crazy is you can sit there behind the podium of the White House and call Russia unjust and all that. You're just giving RT and RIA Novosti and Zvezdia all the Kremlin run channels, you're giving them more stories. Oh, look at that. They're demanding that we change. You know what they look at that the same way that we look at them demanding after Victor Boot was convicted 12 years ago, demanding he be returned. Well, yeah, but he was selling arms to the Taliban. He was selling arms to the FARC in Colombia. You know, the guy supplies people that want to kill Americans, so no. And besides, it's our justice system and all that. Well, the Russians is the same way. They're like, oh, look, she got a trial. And the other thing I heard, by the way, yesterday, Greg, like we were pointing out, everybody in a Russian criminal trial has to sit handcuffed in a cage. The white guy, Paul Whelan, who's been there for years, he had to sit in a cage handcuffed. And it wasn't a slave market. Viktor Navalny, every once in a while, when they trot him out for various to act like he really is the opposition. He's in a cage and he's handcuffed. Everybody is. It's just a bad scene. Back in a second, AM 770 KTTH. Let's get you to work with our right-way traffic. AM 770 KTTH, our career criminal of the week, coming up here in just a second. His name, Jonathan Cruz. Just wait till you hear his track record. Also, we'll check your text at 800-465-8770. Well, it's coming out. A Bay Area TV station, the NBC affiliate in the Bay Area, is saying that their sources say that when Paul Pelosi was in the suspected DUI accident a couple weeks ago, that there was a passenger in the automobile, and possibly this is the person that called 911. And it took a whole bunch of legal maneuvers for the mugshot to be released. And have you seen the mugshot? I mean, it could be his DMV portrait.
I have seen the mugshot. Yeah, he doesn't look too disheveled or anything.
I was thinking like Nick Nolte or something like, he looked like...
You got to have the one strand of hair that's out of place.
Yeah.
Mel Gibson had that famous shot. Nick Nolte had many strands of hair out of place in his mugshot.
So no one is saying at all who the passenger is. There's no speculation. Paul Pelosi's attorney was asked about it, and his answer was, "I don't have anything to say about that," which is literally not a no. So anyway, more on that. All we know is it probably wasn't Nancy, because her whereabouts was the East Coast at that time. She was in D.C. because Congress was in session. And checks notes. She's a speaker. She was in Tokyo yesterday, and now that she's done the damage, she's going to comment on it.
The Chinese have tried to isolate Taiwan, keeping them most recently from the World Health Organization by not even letting their participation be on the agenda of the World Health Agency, whatever that makes these determinations. They may try to keep Taiwan from visiting or participating in other places, but they will not isolate Taiwan by preventing us to travel there. We've had high-level visits, senators in the spring, a bipartisan way, continuing visits, and we will not allow them to isolate Taiwan.
Okay. Anyway, the Chinese responded, as I said yesterday, with an air show and a fireworks show. And what's really funny internally in China is now for the second day in a row on social media in China, hardline social media influencers in China are mocking their own government, basically saying, hey, you promised invasion. We're just getting an air show. And you're launching a bunch of rockets, and so American observers are pointing out that one or two of the Chinese missiles yesterday may have snuck into the 12 nautical mile limit of sovereign territory of Taiwan. That's intentional, but missiles haven't flown over Taiwan the way that, for instance, the North Koreans 15 years ago flew a ballistic missile over Japan, and the Japanese chose to ignore that. And this is where, and by the way, the Chinese are having a spasm of anger right now. That's what it is. Is what they're not doing is mobilizing for an invasion. And this is part of what's fueling their anger, is that they're not prepared to invade. This is not the English Channel, and it's not the Rhine River. This is 100 miles. And they're not capable of doing the English Channel or the Rhine River.
And this moment is giving many Americans like myself pause, because China did sanction Pelosi for whatever that means. They are conducting these military drills. China has cut off high-level discussions about international issues with the U.S. The White House summoned a Chinese ambassador. But like you said, important distinction, there's not a military buildup like we saw with Russia and Ukraine. I hesitate to say yet. It doesn't appear like that's on the horizon. But at the same time, just look to last February, and any kind of tensions with neighboring countries and a big looming threat and a smaller neighbor, you kind of go, oh, I hope this isn't heading to where I think it might be heading.
And it's funny because I've seen some idiotic talking heads like Peter Beinart, a former Obama administration guy, saying, well, you know, this new president is showing that you don't have to put boots on the ground to have an effect. And so that model we could apply to Taiwan, the Ukraine model. Really? Where's Taiwan's Poland? You know, the entire reason that we're able so successfully to resupply Ukraine is, you know, not one plane has landed in there. It's all landed in the NATO ally immediately adjacent bordering Ukraine. Bit of a different. How do you propose delivering the HIMARS to Taiwan if China decides to, as a precursor to invasion, to start attacking? So I'm sorry, Taiwan goes to war with whatever it has on day one. And that's that.
Well, so military question for a military man like yourself. Easier for Russia to invade Ukraine than China to potentially invade Taiwan?
Way easier.
For China to invade Taiwan?
Yeah, 1,000 times easier.
Correct. I agree.
Walk, because you get to walk in and walk out if you can. It's laying bare how vapid the Russian military is. From, you know, you have to build a competent military from the people out. And this is where this is one of the same institutional problems facing the PLA is also facing Russia. And it has to do with the fact that they haven't. This is a real deal. The Chinese are amazingly self-aware and self-conscious about this, but they haven't fought a major land war since 1953 on the Korean Peninsula. The major combatant we faced in the Korean War was the Chinese People's Volunteer Army. They're 0-2 against Vietnam. They went to war with Vietnam in 1979, and they managed to lose 35,000 guys in about 20 days. At that point, they were no longer the North Vietnamese. The battle-hardened Vietnam Army, who learned from the best, from Battle 101 from the United States, they kicked the Chinese ass in 1979. The Chinese went back for more, I want to say like in 93, 94. Again, same asses, same kicking. The Chinese are very aware that they have zero combat experience as a combined arms military. None of that. They have none of that experience. And they're, like I say, that's their Achilles heel. They're very, very self-conscious about it. You see it in their professional writings. They just assume that we're not going to hit Google Translate. But they're very open and honest about that, that the unspoken advantage that the Americans have is there is real-world deployment and combat experience throughout the ranks down to E5. There's no new enlistees who haven't, you know, deployed in 5 years or whatever. I mean, there are, you know, new ones, but they're being led by combat experienced platoon sergeants, company commanders, you know, things like that. The Chinese don't have any of that. And they are aware that's an intangible. They're not like, oh, who needs that? We can simulate it out here against the Uyghurs. No. They know they can't.
I guess in summary.
Ha ha, you fool! You fell victim to one of the classic blunders. The most famous is never get involved in a land war in Asia, but only slightly less well known is this. Never go in against a Sicilian when death is on the line.
Where'd he get that cheesecake?
You see someone actually walking away with a cheesecake there after the Cheesecake Factory was looted. Unclear where they may have gotten that, but
we'll try to clear that up. Back in a second, AM 770 KTTH, and we'll check your text here in a couple minutes. 800-465-8770. Let's get to work with our right way traffic. AM 770 KTTH, Brian Suits here, and it is time for producer Greg to hit the sounder. That means it's time to check your text. Right out of the gate, from the 206 area code. Brian, as far as Brittany, why do you say she's being held? Why do you say she is being held is unjustified? I get what you mean. She smuggled drugs that are illegal in Russia and got caught. Now, I'm no fan of Russia, but if she's going to go there and get paid as a b-ball player, she should know the laws on this. If a Mexican was caught bringing drugs into America, would they not go to jail? No, though, they don't. But no, I know what you mean. I'm just saying that I do think a 9-year sentence is very unmodern. But then again, it is Russia, and everything can be settled with, if you have money, they will take it. And suddenly your 9-year sentence might be 9 minutes or time served. So there's that. It's illegal. You know, you have to learn the rule in NATO. You have to learn the rules everywhere you go. There's different arrangements that you have with the government. When you go to Turkey, you're briefed. Now, as you go around in civilian clothes as an American service person, you know, have your military ID. You have to know this. It's illegal to mock a statue. And you're like, well, why? What'll happen? It'll be bad. You'll be detained. And there's one guy in particular, the founder of modern-day Turkey. He's all over the place, and he's riding a horse everywhere. Don't mock the statue. And so, well, why would you want to? And then first time you see a statue of Kemal Ataturk, and he's riding a horse, and the horse is rearing up, and he has a sword, the horse is uncomfortably anatomically accurate. By the way, he's always riding a boy horse. And it's like you're goading me now. You're provoking me not to make fun of this horse, and it's not the same. But anyway, so it's I could go down the turkey horse hole, but I won't. Anyway.
Oh yikes! From the 253, if one thing we've learned from all our foreign wars since World War II, pretty much is that you can throw money at the despots, but all you get at the end of the day is rich despots. Have a great weekend, guys.
Oh, that's funny. Why the cage in Russia? This is from Rube in Covington. Why the cage in Russia? I've seen it on court shows. Also, you didn't mention the specialist guest coming with the Yankees. America's doctor, he gets to try and throw a pitch. What?
Oh, I think Fauci might be coming to T-Mobile Park.
No.
If I'm not mistaken.
I'll power up my Google machine and look into that.
I'm on it.
Really?
Yeah, I believe
this is
so.
You know that this is one of those plays. I wonder in a Mariners game how the audience.
Fauci will receive
standing
the
ovation.
Hutch Award on August 9th.
Oh,
Mariners Yankees game.
I mean, there's people wearing masks out right outside the window here. I mean,
he'll get a
standing ovation in Seattle.
I don't hate Fauci as much as a lot of conservative talk radio does, but I disagree with a lot of his attempt at social engineering, especially early on in the pandemic.
Yeah.
Just tell it like it is.
I would have had a nationwide broadcast, 15 to 20 minutes, explaining how America dealt with the 1918, 1919 pandemic and at the outset, and just say, look, folks, here's how bad it can be. Well, let's hope this doesn't happen. But just so that you know, this has happened in human history fairly consistently. The most well-documented one in human history was about 100 years ago. Here's just briefing people. And they could have done that, but they did not. And turkey horsehole.
From the 425, regarding eco blocks around Seattle. Yes, ugly to look at, but they smoke a lot less fentanyl.
they do. 360, I love that Brian isn't afraid to talk the truth about the WNBA. That's very courteous these days. Does hockey have a take on it? Hockey's on vacation.
Yeah, I haven't heard from hockey in a while.
Yeah, he took 2 weeks.
That was a deserved vacation.
He's new to radio. He doesn't know that 2 weeks, the audience forgets you. That's why we in radio take 1 week vacation.
From the 425 with the kickoff of the NFL preseason last night, what the NFL needs is to go out of business. I don't know how anybody can watch them again ever after what they did. That's kind of cryptic, but what I assume the 425 is referring to here is perhaps the 6-game suspension for Deshaun Watson, who was doing unsavory things with massage people.
Only 24 of them. I mean, one or two are lying.
Well, and the NFL has suspended people a year for smoking pot, and then Watson only gets a 6-game suspension. I agree. It was kind of a ridiculous sentence for him.
Who was it? Adrian Peterson, who was beaten on his son and was convicted
with a stick
in Texas?
Or something. Yeah.
And what was his suspension?
He was out for a while.
Yeah.
It might have been a whole year before his comeback, but I'm not totally sure.
425, hi, guys. Great job today. Can you recommend a good free place to watch the Blue Angels practice and where to park? Thanks. Please.
Just drive back and forth over the I-90 bridge.
Yeah. How about your mom, huh? No, I don't know. The thing about Capitol Hill is that it fills up. On a day like today, on a mm-hmm. lovely Friday, if you're thinking, oh, I'll go up there and, you know, have that free view, that neighborhood hates you. They hate you for going. I would say go down to Leschi, but you better get there now. Is the Leschi Cafe still there?
Probably. I don't know.
But,
I can fact check. From the 951, a Democrat-run cities do this because they have an image problem. If they don't prosecute anyone, they get to say there is less crime.
Yeah, that's a trick. It's like, the crime rate's gone down. No, the prosecutions have gone down. Because they measure it on conviction. Like today, by the way, folks, the United States added a booming 528,000 jobs in July. Okay, we are a nation of 330 million coming out of one of the most bizarre economic times tied to a pandemic. But the White House said, that's the most jobs ever created. Well, okay, as a raw number, yes, the pie got the pool of possible employees got bigger because we're a larger nation by 20 million than 10 years ago, and 150 million than 100 years ago. But so yes, it's the largest single number. But you know, do you not understand how ratios work? It's a simple question of weight ratios, is what I'm saying. African swallow. Back in a second, we'll wrap up with our career criminal of the week here, and I think a fond look back at the great voice, the great, perhaps the greatest sportscaster in the history of any sport, the great voice that we lost earlier this week, some other stuff. It is AM 770 KTTH. Brian Suits here. Let's get you to work with our right way traffic. He's been on his perch all this time. We didn't say anything, buddy. Hockey is here. We were all on vacation, not last Sunday, but the 24th, Sunday the 24th. And you know what fell through the cracks?
What was that?
I got to say, probably the career criminal of the month for July. The job numbers came out today. I think I can say it's here on the 5th of August. We've had a chance to look at the crime all around July and the career criminal of the month. By the way, it's AM 770 KTTH. Brian Suits here on a Friday with producer Greg. And I don't know where I think we were packing. Where I was not was stealing a car with a 6-month-old baby inside. I do recall that July 24th, around 3:20 p.m., it was hot in the Pacific Northwest. It's a hot day, sticky, icky, humid, in Des Moines more so. And that's where Jonathan Mamel Cruz saw a car at a gas station, and it was running. And he decided, I'd look good in that car. So he gets in the car, and he rips it off, and he becomes career criminal of the month. Let's learn about Jonathan Mamel Cruz. Shut up, Ashville. How old is he? Who cares? He appears, I'm going to say, mid-20s. Grungy hair in his mugshot, but that's not the important stuff. How tall is he? I don't care. What does he weigh? Don't care. Here's what you need to know. This is what makes him the career criminal for the month of July 2022. Fox 13 News did a deep dive, and they didn't in the shallow end of the pool. Mr. Cruz has, let's start at the end, nearly 30 criminal convictions. Not misdemeanors, criminal, 30 criminal convictions. And that's, remember, That's what he pled to. Maybe not what he was arrested for, but that's what he pled to. And he's got 30 of them.
A winner!
He currently has 16 charges still pending trial. And this is, mind you, this is across four different jurisdictions. Now, that may be city and county. Maybe city of Seattle, county of King, county of Pierce, you know, whatever. But anyway, four different jurisdictions. He's got 16 charges pending in those. And that boils down to 11 different cases. And will he show up or not? Well, you better worry. That's a real coin flip, because you see documents also show that our career criminal of the month, Jonathan Memel Cruz, has failed to appear in court at least, are you ready, 55 times since 2017. So I would have to say, if I were him, half the time he probably was already in jail. So he currently, as of right now, for all of you listeners out there, yell back to the radio, the over-under on how many active warrants he has right now, I'm going to say the over-under is 8. Do you go over or under that? Well, I wouldn't be doing this wacky bit if it was under, now would I? He has 11 active warrants for his arrest.
Oh, hi. Thanks for checking in. I'm still a piece of garbage.
So it's that's why his bail was set at $300,000. You know, I mean, $1 million is set for people who kill people. But this guy, when he stole the car around 3:20 p.m. on July 24th, because apparently there's still a shred of humanity in the guy, as he's tearing away from the Chevron at 23845 Pacific Highway South, he notices there's a 6-month-old baby still inside, and so he ditches the car. He gets far enough away to make it credible and do the walk away, and then according to authorities, he didn't even park in shade. So there's only one shred of humanity in the guy. Authorities found the car. Took the kid out, took custody of the kid, reunited with the mother. The mother had a problem communicating with the attendant at the station because she's deaf. She's hard of hearing. I mean, virtually deaf and uses sign language. So she had to write, and the English was not the attendant's first language. So there was a miscommunication there. And why wasn't she calling police? Well, because she left her phone in the car. So there's that. But, it's man, machine, and moment. And Jonathan Memel Cruz hopefully now is on everybody's radar. I can't be subpoenaed for a King County jury. I sense this guy doesn't get to the jury. But anyway, Jonathan Memel Cruz, you are our career criminal of July. And I got to say, I'm not cheering. Because I want him to be the career criminal of the year. I don't want to hear that there's somebody with a longer rap sheet than this dude. But you know, just by statistics, this guy just happened. His orbit happened to interact with, you know, the police, and apparently there's lines that some people can't cross in King County, and he's not going to bail out unless, of course, he has. So there's that. As far as I know, of his 30 criminal convictions, I don't know if any of them are violent. Odds are, if he's, I'm going to say odds are, some of them are. So there's that. Speaking of career criminals, the funny thing about Paul Pelosi is that somebody named Paul Pelosi with the same criminal attorney had a DUI in 2018. And they're saying, oh, no, it's a different Paul Pelosi with the same criminal attorney or same defense attorney. But I don't know. Speaking of odds.
Coincidence?
Yeah. So anyway, he pled not guilty, which is what you do. We'll see where that goes. The other question that was asked of the Pelosi defense attorneys, are you going to ask for a retraction for the local news station that said there was a passenger who was not Nancy Pelosi in the vehicle? And they demurred on that. They would not comment. we lost Vin Scully this week. Well, wait, what's the ESPN sportscasm? It's a Julio Rodriguez home run.
To draw a comparison here, as you pointed out, we spent a lot of Wednesday's show remembering and honoring the late great Vin Scully. legendary sportscaster for the Brooklyn Dodgers, Los Angeles Dodgers, who had such famous calls like this home run by Kurt Gibson in the 86 World Series.
In a year that has been so improbable, the impossible has happened.
And the Bill Buckner, the dribbler.
So the winning run is at second base with two out, 3-2 to Mookie Wilson. Little roller up along first, behind the bag. It gets through Buckner. Here comes Knight, and the Mets win it.
Now, this is not T-ball. It was a roller.
And so it got me thinking, as we reflected, has the quality of sports commentary and broadcasting deteriorated over the years? And maybe this is unfair to this young person who does highlights for ESPN, but this was a recent call of a Julio Rodriguez home run. You tell me.
This is one of his New York home runs?
This is one he did versus Texas about a week or two ago. And listen to the poetry.
Hosting the Rangers seventh inning, Julio Rodriguez. God, it's like, does he know it's not the Derby anymore? Exactly, what are you supposed to do? Look at that. John Gray's like, whatever.
I'll have what she's having. Was she on camera?
Yes, or just voiceover? This was on national television.
Well, one of the things I would hasten to point out is that entertainment has changed. In Vince Scully's lifetime, he saw with his own eyes that sportscasters became rock stars. They especially with a TV network dedicated to nothing but sports. Chris Berman was just a local sports guy, you know, for the longest time. And then they just took the gloves off and said, nah, you do the football highlights any way you want. And then he became Chris Berman, you know, and so then along comes, you know, now the generation of people doing alternative play-by-play to famous, you know, baseball and football plays that you would know. That's huge. Everyone's, you know, sending out a tape. The sportscasters are now the stars, you know, and that's the difference that he's seen. Vince Scully was too much of a gentleman to ever say that, but he because there's no one he didn't like, but Vince Scully was incapable of being a Bob Costas.
I think the same thing can be said of newscasters in this day and age. So many journalists, reporters, or talking heads on TV have become the story themselves instead of the news.
Yeah, I'd say Geraldo was the first. He that I know of. Yeah, he was the first guy that made it all about him. And Scully hated that. Edward R. Murrow would have hated it, but Vince Scully hated that. He didn't begrudge anyone else who did it. Just said he was incapable of being. And also, if you didn't hear him, you know, if you weren't in his market, you didn't hear this, but you wouldn't know whose broadcaster he was. In listening to him, he never said us and we. He said the Dodgers. And Giants win. He never did that. He was very, very objective. He thought that's what a sportscaster should be doing. The Dodgers probably quietly disagreed. They're like, we're paying you. But that was his thing. I don't take a side. I'm a fan of baseball. Anyway, all right, we'll have a good weekend, Producer Greg. We'll see you all back here on Monday. Jason Rantz is at CPAC. He's on the stage. If you're watching it live, he'll be on the air later on, tell you all about it. And we'll see you all back here bright and early, 6 a.m. On Monday. Have a good weekend. Have a safe Seafair weekend. And remember, they're not wearing G suits. Back in a second. 3,000
hours.
Yeah,
time is relative.
So 30,000 seconds at 6 a.m. on Monday. Everyone, have a good day. Where are we now? Dan Bongino's up next. KTTH. See you Monday. Let's get you to work with the right way traffic.